Well, friends, our current sermon series is called The Controversial Jesus. And in it, we're reading chapters 4 to 10 of the Gospel of John. Last week, we read about how Jesus offered living water to a Samaritan woman who then went and told the people of her town. We're going to reread the very end of that account and move on to hear about Jesus healing someone and further belief or unbelief. So it's on page 1515 of the Church Bible, if you're using that, page 1515, and we're starting. So John chapter 4, starting at verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that the boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Amen.
Well, good morning all. Good morning to everyone watching on the live stream. Please do keep your Bible open at that passage, John chapter 4. Let's pray. Let's ask for God's Spirit to help us as we stop and we reflect on what we've just read. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will work by your Spirit in our hearts. Bring us to Jesus. Bring us to your living water, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, belief is central to Christianity, isn't it? We say, whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but has eternal life. But what do we mean when we say believe? Because different people define belief in different ways. For example, there's this TV comedy series called Ted Lasso, which is Ted Lasso is all about an American guy who knows nothing about soccer, but somehow ends up as coach of an English Premier League club. And when he arrives at this soccer club, that the club's divided and dejected. But one of the first things that he does is he puts this sign up in the change room which says, believe. And every time they go out to play, they touch the sign, believe. And Ted Lasso has this amazing habit of identifying the positive in each of his players. And so for Ted Lasso to believe means to always look for the positive in others and in yourself. And it's a feel-good story. But is that what we mean when we talk about believing in Jesus? Or for a very different definition of belief. There's this guy, he's a neuroscientist and a philosopher. His name is Sam Harris. And he describes belief as holding an opinion without any evidence. And so for him, belief is kind of the opposite of science. Is that what we mean when we say believe in Jesus? Do we mean accept all these doctrines but without any evidence that they're true? Well, in today's passage, we're going to be looking at John chapter 4 from verse 43 to the end, and we're going to learn what Jesus means when he calls us to believe. And in this story, we'll see that actually belief, it's not a simple thing. There are different kinds of belief. I will see in this story that there is a kind of belief that doesn't honour Jesus, as well as a kind of belief that leads to eternal life. So let's think about this passage. When I first read it, I've got to be honest, I was quite confused by verses 44 and 45. Have a look at them. It says, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. Hang on. Did you get that? Jesus is saying he won't be honoured, but then they welcome him. Is John suggesting that Jesus got it wrong? Or what's going on here? I was sure that John was trying to tell us something important. I just wasn't quite sure what it is. And it didn't really make sense to me until I saw how this story fits into the overall story that John is telling. So will you come with me? Let's remember some of the things that we've looked at over recent weeks. Back in chapter 2, Jesus went down to Jerusalem to attend the big festival. And here's an important thing. It's not just Jesus by himself. There's actually a whole lot of people who travel down from Galilee and back. Look what it says in a couple of pages back, John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. So do you get that? He's in Jerusalem. People see Jesus doing miracles and they believe. But the kind of belief they have is not the kind of belief that Jesus is looking for. Okay, so Jesus starts to make his way home, and you'll remember he goes through Samaria and he meets the woman at the well. And it's interesting, when he's in Samaria, he doesn't do any miracles. Instead, he just teaches them who he is. And it says that the people in Samaria believed. It says they recognized him as the Savior of the world. And actually, you look at John chapter 4, verse 35, the way Jesus talks about what's happening is that this is a great harvest. So it seems that the kind of belief that he sees in Samaria, this is the kind of belief that Jesus is looking for. And then in today's passage, he gets back to Galilee. And when he gets home to Galilee, everyone's like, hooray, our miracle workers come home. Our famous guy is here. He can do miracles among us. And news gets around pretty quick because Jesus is soon confronted with a request for a miracle, for a healing. And have a look at Jesus' answer in chapter 4, verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Now, that's not quite the answer that we expect from Jesus. You know, guys come and ask for help, and Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe. I mean, it's a bit like, have you ever had a relationship with someone where you think everything's going fine, and then they say to you, oh, there's some issues we need to talk about. Oh, it's not fine. You see, it seems that the people of Galilee, they have what we could call a surface-level belief in Jesus. They like Jesus. They welcome Jesus. They want Jesus to do miracles. But they don't yet have the kind of belief that Jesus is calling for. So let's just think about how this might be relevant for our lives. Jesus is telling us that he doesn't want us to believe in him only as a miracle worker. He wants us to also know him as Savior of the world. I mean, just think about it. If Jesus is only ever the person you run to when there's sickness in your household, or if you only come to Jesus when you've got an exam coming up, or there's a crisis at work, or you find yourself in financial difficulty, if that's the only time that you come to Jesus, well, then you've missed the point of who he is and why he really came. So don't misunderstand me. Jesus is a healer. I know that there's more than one family in our church who has experienced a remarkable healing as part of your journey to faith. And Jesus is the giver of wisdom. It is right to ask Jesus for help with your studies. And Jesus is our provider. And we can rely on him. He tells us to pray, give us today our daily bread. But what Jesus wants us to see is that, yes, he is all of those things, but he's so much more. See, often we think that my biggest problem is my health or my exam or my finances, whereas Jesus wants us to see that actually there's something more serious than the illness of our bodies is the fact that our souls are sick because we've turned away from God. Jesus wants us to see that much more serious than not knowing enough chemistry is not truly knowing God, our loving Creator. Jesus wants us to see that much more serious than having an empty bank account is the prospect of coming before the throne of God having lived a bankrupt life. So you see, those are the things that are our deepest needs, and actually those are the things that Jesus ultimately came to deal with. If your belief doesn't grapple with those deep things, if your belief stays on the surface, then your faith is not honoring Jesus, because you're missing the point of why he came. Because why did he come? Did Jesus come so that you can get a job? He might help you get a job, but this story, as we read through it, the climax of this story will be all about how he died on the cross for your sins and rose for your eternal life. Now, Of course, Jesus does care about our physical needs. He is about to heal this man's son. This is a healing story. But I want you to have a look at how he does it. Because Jesus heals in a way which is going to lead this man and his family from a surface faith into a deeper, richer kind of belief. See, what does this man want Jesus to do? Twice he says to Jesus, "Come." And I'm not criticizing the guy for asking. I think same situation, you or I would have asked Jesus exactly the same thing. "Come, come to my town. Come, put your hand on my son. Do your healer thing." But you notice, Jesus will not come. Instead, verse 50, he says, what does he say? Verse 50, he says, "Go, your son will live." See, Jesus insists that this man take him at his word. Jesus is doing it in this way because he wants to teach him a deeper kind of belief. Because the kind of belief that leads to eternal life comes out of taking Jesus at his word. Did you notice that in verse 50? That's what it says. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. This is a story of Jesus healing through his word. And when the man realizes that he meets someone on the way back and he realizes, hang on a minute, my son has been healed and it's happened at the exact moment that Jesus spoke the word. What does it say in verse 53? He and his household believed. Let me read you a quote from a Canadian pastor called Bruce Milne. This is what he says. He says, "In a sense, something even greater was at stake in this encounter with Jesus than simply the healing of the boy. There was the healing of the father, also a healing of spirit, which, having been obtained, was the means of blessing to his entire family. It's this final treasure that Jesus seeks, and he is prepared to allow us to experience deep affliction in the process of obtaining it." So can you see, at the beginning of this story, the man has a kind of faith in Jesus. He has this surface level belief. He believes Jesus is powerful. He believes Jesus can heal. But by the end of the story, he has a deeper kind of belief. And what he has by the end of the story, it's more than just a Ted Lasso general positivity. I mean, it's certainly more than an opinion formed without evidence. Because the man looks into the evidence. He says, hey, what time did it happen? But the kind of belief that this man has learned is a belief in Jesus' word. As Jesus says in the next chapter, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." So him who sent me, that's the Father. The Father is speaking through the word of Jesus. And he says, "Believe and you will have eternal life." And so let's think through, take home message for us. Surely the message is that if we want to go beyond surface level belief, and if we want to grow in the kind of belief that honors Jesus, if we want to grow in the kind of belief that leads to eternal life, what we will do, we'll listen to his word. Yeah? It's interesting that the focus last week, the focus last week was all about asking Jesus. The take-home message last week was all about prayer, asking Jesus for living water. Whereas today, the next passage, the focus is sort of on the other side of the picture. The focus is on listening to Jesus and trusting what he says. And actually, we need both of those for a healthy Christian life. Can you imagine a relationship where one person does all of the talking and the other does all of the listening? I mean, okay, yeah, some people are more chatty, that's fine. But if we only ever talk and we never ever listen, we're not in a healthy relationship, are we? And it's the same when it comes to Jesus. Can you imagine someone who prays to Jesus but never listens to the word of Jesus? Can you imagine if the only time there was communication between you and Jesus is when you go, hi Jesus, look, sorry to disturb you, but I've got another job for you to do. Which one of you is the Lord in that relationship? Whereas a relationship that submits to Jesus as Lord is a relationship where we listen to his word and then we ask in response to what we learn from him. And by the way, we should be clear when we're thinking about the word of Jesus. You may have a Bible with the words of Jesus in red. That they are most directly the words of Jesus, but there's a sense in which the whole Bible is the word of Jesus and the word about Jesus. And so here's a question that you could ask yourself. What place does the Bible currently have in my life? Perhaps when you ask that question to yourself, perhaps some of you think, but the Bible's hard. Sure, but what kind of hard do you mean? Maybe for some of you, reading in general is hard. And that's okay, you don't have to be a good reader to have strong faith. Can I encourage you, you can try and get your hands on audio Bibles and you can meet with others to learn the Bible. But maybe for you, it's not a reading issue. Maybe sometimes the Bible just feels like a bit of a chore. If you feel like that, my encouragement to you is, hang on a minute, remember whose word this is. See, who you believe Jesus to be will shape how you respond to his word. I mean, in our story, we've seen two kinds of belief. The Galileans believe in Jesus as he's a dispenser of all the helps we need. But if that's all Jesus is, then he's not much more than a big vending machine in the sky. I mean, I guess it's possible to sort of just do the activity of Bible reading as a way to try and please the great vending machine in the sky and get what you want. Like putting in coins. It's probably an exaggeration, that illustration. But if you view Jesus just as someone who gives you the things you want rather than someone you listen to as part of an ongoing relationship, then if he's just the machine, then no wonder the Bible would feel like a chore. But of course, the Jesus we meet through his word is not some impersonal machine in the sky. What have we learnt so far in John's gospel? We've learnt that he's personal and that he knows us personally and completely, and that he loves us and that he invites us into a relationship where we know and love God. We've learnt that he is the one who can lead us into eternal joy and eternal satisfaction in God's presence. Now, if that's who Jesus is, then his word is precious. I mean, is it a chore to listen to someone you love? Well, we're up and down, aren't we? But there has been an interesting opportunity to test our own hearts this last year, because Okay, when we come together as a church, there's all sorts of things that we enjoy. We love to sing and pray, and we love each other's company, and eating together. We haven't done so much eating together. Eventually, we'll get back into that. That's all part of why we come to church. But during those lockdowns, actually, most of that, the singing, the fellowship, the food, was very limited, wasn't it? Probably the thing which was least affected was our ability to listen to the word. So reflect, did you think that the word alone is enough reason to join? I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, but my point is that, okay, when we recognize that sometimes our faith just drifts back to functioning on a surface level, and we need to repent and remember who Jesus is and recommit. Because a wonderful verse, Psalm 119, verse 72. It talks about God's word, and it says, your word is more precious than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. I'll finish with this. During the week, I was talking to someone who, by all indications, this person does not have long to live. And there was something in particular he said to me, because I was thinking about this, and I wrote down what he said. He said, when you reach the end of your life, there's nothing more important than the words of Scripture. When you reach the end of your life, there's nothing more important than the words of Scripture. Friends, there's a lot of stuff we're anxious about today and we need to respond to, but the time will come when all of that sort of fades into the background. But the words of Jesus give us hope for eternity. Friends, Jesus' word is good because Jesus is good. And to truly believe in him, what does that mean? It's all about recognizing who he is and taking him at his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, how he has enabled us to know you by dying for our sins, rising for our new life, giving us his word so that we can believe. Please give us this kind of belief. Please grow our faith. Give us maturity. Make us firm. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.